Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom. I'm your host, Noise Era, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer, and I have titled this episode Premonitions, Visions, and Future Sight with Zach, Part 2. And that's right, we have Zach back on to talk about some more of his premonitions, as well as some of the spiritual implications that are going on with that as well. And without spoiling too much, let's jump right into the show. These things, but Zach, my friend, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm always good, my friend. I'm on the right side of the ground.
Always good to hear, man. That's where I want to stay at.
Now I can hear you fine, my friend. I can hear you fine. How are things?
Things are interesting, man. Things are interesting. You know, as I told you earlier this week, man, I wanted to get back on. I know we had a session a few months ago, and you know, I shared a couple testimonial.
It was like 2 months ago.
Yeah, 2 months ago. 2 months. Yeah, exactly. 2 months ago, and I shared a couple things that I've experienced, you know, growing up and just, you know, currently. And, you know, something's recently been on my mind about some things, and I felt, you know, just this urge, and I think something told me to reach to you specifically this time around again. So, but everything else is good besides that, but it's been definitely some weird things going on with me, so.
That's definitely, whenever, that's what I was saying before you came on the show, is like the way. Because normally, you know, we talk about a lot of stuff, you know, inside the DM, outside the DM, and we're very we communicate a lot, I feel like. But, like, the way you came at me this time, you know, telling me, like, hey, man, I'm being... It basically felt like you were being hit with, like, a wave of just, like, intense intensity. And then you talked about, yeah, you know, what's going on with your family as well. I was like, whoa, all right. Say no more, you know. Just the floor is yours. You know, tell people what's on your heart.
Oh yeah, you know, definitely. As I said again, man, I appreciate it. And this again because I think you know, a couple years ago, I wouldn't have ever wanted to be in this type of position where I share my stories because of worrying about, you know, what people think about me and from, you know, those type of things. And I only say that because I know there's probably other people that can correlate and relate to that, you know, sharing things that, you know, that don't seem normal, but are afraid. So, yeah, man, so I, you know, kind of getting right into it. Yeah, I've had some weird times. I think last time we talked, I was going through some things. I was sharing some things I had. I was sharing backstory a little bit about me. There was a lot, I think, you and I had talked about that I didn't get to put in, that I didn't share, because I was just so overwhelmed, and I felt like the idea of having a platform to share it was very special. You know, I think some things you asked me about, I thought about after, though, like, you know, I didn't actually really answer certain things that we talked about prior to, and I think I was just all over the place, like I told you. I think it was just because, just, you know, I was so overwhelmed with the idea of sharing it, you know. And it's one thing to think about sharing it, and it's another to share and feel good about it, you know, feel good about the fact that, you know, there's something going on with you, and you know, it's one way or another that, you know, God's kind of using you somehow, even if it is scary things that are probably testing that. So, you know, I definitely wanted to, you know, get back on and share those things.
Growth comes from is whenever it's from, like, something uncomfortable.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, what did you say?
Oh, nope, you're fine. There seems to be like a little bit of a lag with your connection, but that's perfectly fine. I was just saying how, you know, sometimes whenever we have these hardships or these hurdles, it's always usually whenever it's I don't want to sound cliche, but it's darkest before the dawn. Whenever it seems like it's something super super restricting, super super compounding, super super difficult, that means that's a hurdle that's meant to grow you. But please continue.
Oh yeah, and I apologize on the lag on that, but for whatever reason, of, you know, that it's doing that. But again,
you're fine.
I agree with you 100%. I think, and that's what's weird. You know what I mean? That's what's the craziest part, and that's what I try to take away from. I'm an optimist. I'm very optimistic. I try to be anyway. I know I can. I'm very crucial on myself. I'm very hard on myself about things. But I try to be optimistic about things in general that go along with me, life, world, events, everything. Just always see the other side, you know, take a grain of salt, whatever it may be, just to kind of get a justification. But to your point, I definitely think there are reasons for things when they're at their hardest, and there is something to take from it, and you have to. You have to take something from a hard moment, especially if you're able to wake up the next day. There's definitely a reason, and there's always, I think you said it before, and I think I've heard you talk about it in just general, and I've read other things from other folks. There's always signs. There's always things that give us messages, and we just, it's a matter of what we decide to take from it. You know, they're always there, you know, to talk to us, but we don't know how to always respond to them or have a takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we avoid the growth in ourselves and our spirit,
mm-hmm.
and everything else because of that. But we get the opportunity to have a continuous chance at that. And that's the great thing about God. They're there. It's not anything that's forceful. It's nothing there that you have to. It's a choice. And that's the difference with him and what you have, that relationship with him. Aside from religion, and man may tell you something, but that's different. When he's giving them to you, there's no person doing it. It's something that's coming from, this otherworldly thing. Other, not even worldly, this other entity. I don't even think that's the right word to justify, but I definitely have had some things in the last couple of weeks. I had a whole week of just waking up at 5:30 every morning, literally at the same time, and just waking up dead awake. It just was like something was waking me up, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't know why. Nothing. I had no trail, no crumb trail to figure out what was going on. But something kept telling me, just a dead. And I'm like, why? And I'm having some nightmares in these as well, and I'm waking up at that same time. And, I'm not getting any reason from it. And I'm not remembering the nightmares. I didn't want to write them down. And I think I was telling you before, I was talking when we were on the show last time with you, I was saying how, if I don't write them down, I forget them very quickly. If I even lay awake, they're so strong that they're there, and I have to write them, and I will go back, and when I reread them, the whole story replays itself. But if I don't, within minutes, it disperses. And I don't know if that's normal all the time for dreams or nightmares to be able to be like that, where you forget within minutes. I don't know if you have any sentiments on that or any thoughts. Is that just natural, or...
No, I'd say that's pretty natural, sometimes, because,
okay.
And I'll throw this out there, I've definitely had some dreams of myself where I feel like, I was there, I was that person, those were all of my crewmates, and I all saw them, all die, and I felt that, and then you wake up, and then it seems like you forget it, but at the back of your head, it is somewhere. I was gonna ask you, are you seeing any kind of correlations with, I don't know, I feel like there is a increase in tension, there's an increase in violence, there's an increase in what I would consider physical, worldly, savage, beastly behavior. And when I think of that, I don't really think of people who are disciplined, people who are reserved, people who have that awareness of self. I feel like we have a lot of people who are succumbing to, like I said, the beast mentality, the mindset of the man. And would you say you've ever had any dreams that kind of illustrate that, or anything that's kind of lined up with where we're at today?
Well, yeah, I mean, that kind of goes into, back into what, I was saying, great, great point and question to kind of lead into it, why I wanted to talk about it. So last week, the whole week, I had this dream at 5:30 in the morning. My mom, I shared it with her the other day, and she went on to, kind of to speak to me and was saying that she believes that when you're awoke, when you're awakened like that on a consistent basis, she believes that God is trying to talk to you, and He's trying to give you a message at that particular hour, at that particular time, that may not be available any other particular time. And she was telling me how you want to sit and go somewhere and pray and ask for that message to show itself. And I thought about that a lot. She told me this the other day, and I didn't tell her much about last week, for example, and it kind of bummed me out a little bit, because there might have been something there. There was a reason why I was waking up literally the same time every morning, and I didn't understand. And some of it was from nightmares, but others were just literally on cue. So having that being said, this week, going into why I wanted to talk to you, I've had some dreams that have been very, 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 very intimately strong. I don't even understand why. I don't understand what the uptick is, to your point. There's been an uptick itself in everything from the, you know, wars to false flags to, you know, people just being feeling a certain way spiritually, whether it's good or bad. You know, people are trying to get closer to God. People are pulling farther from God, or they're pulling God from us. You know, you talk about, you know, some of the things I've seen, you know, not to promote anything else, but, you know, there's certain things I follow. You know, I think I told you before, there's certain people I follow, and you're one of those that helps me, you know, to learn about what I'm already learning on the side, because as you said, you know, you're the messenger. You know, you're giving the information that you're obtaining, and it's coming to you, and you're sharing it as your platform, and that's what it is for us, to, you know, on our end, to be obedient, to go and look for it. But I've had other sources and seen that, you know, people are really, you know, pulling us, people of God, away. And I've had this dream this week, been kind of talking about that more. I know the other night, for a particular the day and the night that I had the issue with what I had come to you. I think, like I said, we've been busy. I've been busy. All types of new stuff, my new job promotion and everything else, and you've been busy and just getting yourself adjusted, so I haven't really had the time to talk, but I had a dream the other night that was literally three nightmares in a row, and I haven't had that one. I haven't had one like that in a long time. Yeah, I haven't had one like that in a long time where it was like back to back to back, and you know, I know it's funny because I was supposed to send you what it was, so you can kind of have that, you know, pretty plain to read, so you know, definitely this would be a first for you, just to let me share what I was dreaming about. But it was like, it's almost as if I was being smothered in the water, like trying. I was already slammed in there, so I'm in the current, now I'm underwater. Now I'm trying to get out of the water, and I'm back under. And so, you know, it was two nightmares. I think they were back to back. They went from one and jumped right into another. And then I had my daughter wake up. I wake up, actually, after I woke up, probably around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, crying that she didn't have a nightmare. So,
wow.
yeah, so she's been having an uptick in nightmares.
That was going to be one of my next questions, because I feel like in our previous episode, we talked about how one of the encounters that you had, like as a child, that your dad could confirm, is how that there was some kind of entity overlooking your bed. I think it's crazy how now, you know, generationally, with your father, with you, and now, you know, with your daughter, there's some kind of spiritual trend going along with that. I think that's kind of strange, and so that's one of the things I wanted to talk about with you as well. You know, if you had talked to her and gotten some kind of idea of what she was dreaming about, you know. And you said you talked to your mom as well. Does she know if I don't know if that's just kind of something that's natural or what's going on?
Yeah, well, yeah, both points, great points. So I know with my daughter, I've been trying to find more. My mom actually was one of the people also. I mean, I've been doing it anyway, but my mom was kind of reinstating, you know, hey, you know, you should be tracking her dreams as well if you're tracking yours. And, you know, again, I've been tracking mine off and on since I was like – when my parents started to see certain things that were happening to me, like, you know, 11 or 12, that they started making me write them in a book or write them down or type them up on the computer or whatever it was. So she was obviously just making that recommendation to do the same with her, the point of trying to find some type of pattern, which I think it's like looking at a bunch of numbers or the matrix. There's something, you're like looking at a bunch of words that's just, anybody could read it, but it just seems like there is something there. There's a code or something that's there that all these dreams I'm tracking of myself, I know there's something there that I can't see with my eyes, that third eye, you know, or however you want to see it, say it, or look at it, there's something there, but I can't seem to get it. And then, you know, my daughter, it's the same thing. Now trying to put her in that position, she's been dreaming of, like, a lot more of zombies. Mind you, my daughter doesn't like horror films or anything like that. She's very free from that stuff. She just never really was into it anyway, so it's not anything I watch around her. I you know, try to avoid that. Any kid might see the little things here and there if you're changing the channel or something like that, but that's not something that, especially her, who she likes to kind of, you know, put herself in and watch around, you know, being at 7 years old, and I don't want her to. So I don't know where that's coming from, but the zombies and the wolves, She told me that the other night, when I had the nightmares, I'm referring to the night I had the two nightmares back to back, and she had hers. She said it was zombies killing people, and they were just killing people everywhere out in the street. There was wolves out there destroying people and killing them. And then she said it was this black thing. She just referred to it as black. She called it a monster, but all she said was it was black, and it was just like just dark, and it was out there also killing people. And it makes you wonder, you know, as a child, you know, the influences naturally, you know, it's taking me out of the perspective of what gouged their minds to even have that. But then on top of that, she's been having them more and more and more and more. It's been an uptick.
And when did she have this dream about the zombies, the wolves, and this black thing? Like, was this yesterday? Was this the day before? Like, can you give us a date stamp on it?
Yeah, sure. That was actually, what was it? Yes. So the dream I had was obviously, yes, well, last, the dream I had was the night before, so today's what, Tuesday, so it was Sunday night going into Monday. So
all right, so the 18th, guess, to 19th.
Yes. So that same night that I had mine is when she had that.
The reason I ask is because, you know, we on the page, we try to, like, that's why we cover everything that we cover, is so that we can kind of timestamp everything. And mm-hmm. I think the fact that you guys are kind of having these dreams right now, this uptick, well, literally, while we're putting this episode together, an article that's in the queue that I'll post after we're recording this, and it's how that there,
sure.
I don't know if you've seen it, but those witches that bind Trump, that those girls that have basically been casting, like, ritualistic spells on Trump and the presidency since he's been in office, they're meeting tonight, as well as how four churches in New York were vandalized and put satanic messages, okay? And this is happening, like, on the same day. So I think it's crazy to illustrate, and it just kind of, yeah, as we said, could put, like, a timeline on it, that you guys would feel this kind of pressure, this kind of, like, intensity, this wave, and it would kind of show up in your own life this way, that it would manifest this way, while these types of what I would consider satanic or spiritual attacks are taking place here physically. That's one of the reasons as to why I think it's crazy that you're coming on, you know, at this time, is because I think, and this is why we cover things like that, you know, with possessed Peruvian dolls, you know, those vandals at the church. I think Ohio, I'm not entirely sure, but no, Long Island. Yeah, Long Island. And how now there's this attack at the church in New York, you know, and so there's so many different things going on in that aspect, to where it's just like the synchronicity of it. Like, how can you be having these types of violent dreams, or these types of, like, intense dreams that have spiritual implications while these things are manifesting physically? I think that's astounding.
Yeah, I agree, and that's what's, you know, weird, you know, and I think to your point, that's. It's very strange, and I think that's what I was, you know, saying to my mom. I was like, you know, and I think I told you when I reached out. I was in bad shape yesterday, man. All day, my head hurt so bad from it. I told my mom this before, that nothing, ibuprofen, Aleve, none of that takes away the pain. Nothing will take away that type of headache, and it's not a migraine. I've had migraines before. I can't really explain what it is. It feels like my whole brain was shook, and. You know, the only thing that made it go away was literally me going back to sleep. But I was almost so terrified from the night before of having those multiple nightmares that I was literally on and off dozing last night, and I was trying to avoid myself from falling asleep too early to allow myself to have a huge gap in time where I could actually be put into another dream or nightmare. It's such a messed up scenario that I'm in, where I have to do stuff like that. But it was that strong, and it really, my head, my neck, I had so much pressure on my neck and my head, like somebody was, like, slamming me into a wall, where, you know, it didn't make sense. My daughter, she told me, you know, that she was scared, and I've talked to her before, and I pray with them every night, which made it even more interesting. You know, I pray every night, and I've been doing this for years. They even when they were little and they could barely talk, they knew that was that. I'm going to bed. It's that time. We have to pray, you know, and Dad has to, you know, pray over us. You know, have God protect us and so on. So they know that, and that's what kind of, you know, I was telling my mom. I was like, man, it's like, it's just, you know, for those things to be overridden. It's like, and I asked her. I said, you know, Mom, I was like, do you have anything else that I asked her? I was like, is there anything else that I need to know about my family that you guys just don't want to share with me? I was like, because nobody else in my family is dealing with this. no one. And, you know, my mom, as you know, she stated, you know, she really didn't know. But and I don't want to say anything that comes off the way wrong, because I want my mom to hear this. I want to share this episode. But it makes me wonder, not necessarily with them, but is there, like, why have I been, as you said, why is it that since I've been a baby, these things have been going on? I don't understand. And I beg God, I've pleaded, I've cried, I've shed tears, I've done everything, man, to have the messages. And like I said to you, they've probably been there, but I don't know how to decode them. I've went and had preachers and pastors sit there and talk to me about things, and they're giving me a runaround on the actual truth, because sometimes I feel even pastors and preachers don't really want to talk about, and I'm sure you may agree to it, they don't really want to talk about what needs to be talked about. You know, we can talk about the tribulations in our daily lives, work, and, you know, and things like that, and, you know, not having money. Those are all things that I agree. You know, growing up in an old-fashioned church, having 2 and 3 services, and then the whole nine, I've been all through that. But there's other things that I've been to a lot of churches that I'm not hearing that needs to be talked about to the people that follow God, you know, about these type of spiritual, you know, attacks, this warfare that's not seen by the eyes, but we're dealing with it when the temptation, the hatred, the fears, the disgust for one another, they're all just every day, they're you know, agony, and the temptation, everything is so strong right now. And it's not much to you know, we're not getting anything that's being help to fight that, or how to really be able to combat that. So, but yeah, I've had that, man, and I think that's what I was going to lead into, what I was going to say next, is I had those 2 dreams. My daughter had hers. We prayed. Like I said, 2:30 in the morning. I lay back down. I was like, all right, man, I got to hang out here. I'm not trying to fall back asleep. I laid another 40 minutes. I prayed by myself. I said, God, I said, you know, please protect me, you know, cover me. I said, my whole nine was just praying with him, talking one-on-one. You know, cover me in the blood of Jesus, protect me, allow me to sleep peacefully. As again, because if it's you, God, I want you to show that it's you. If it's not, don't let me have this. So, of course, after that, I have another one. So, you know, people can make the decision that, you know, it's, well, you know, from a scientific perspective, it could be this, that, and the third. And then there's the spiritual side. So people got to make that, you know, distinct decision on what they decide, on what they feel, which way does it go. Is it just a natural thing that this is what it goes and I'm having night terrors, or is it something more? Because I begged, and I pleaded with God. I'm laying here. I literally prayed, man. I prayed until I fell asleep. And that's nothing abnormal, but I did it. I was praying in a hard focus, you know, concentrated mind to allow peace from 4 something in the morning till it's time to get up at 6:30 or whatever to get up for work. And for me to fall back into that after I pleaded, God knowing, and I know it's not something that he would allow me to deal with if it's something that's not of him. It let me know that he wanted me to know that. He wanted me to feel. He wanted something to be made aware after what I've already dealt with 2 of them and my daughter. So,
I think you brought up a decent amount of points, because the fact that, you know, the fact that you have, because one of the questions I have for you after all this is, like, why would your daughter be scared? Like, if she's not being shown any kind of images like that, like, empathically on the spiritual level, what is she receiving? Like, what is she interpreting? So that's definitely, like, a question I have for you later on. And then I think that, you know, whenever you're talking about the church these days, whenever you're talking about going to go talk to pastors and priests, you know, and preachers, like, people that should be closer to God or have, like, a deeper relationship with God, like, it's not there. We're falling more and more into this, like, physical, worldly, you know, zombified mindset, you know, to where we don't really understand the deeper parts of the human experience, of getting closer to God, of having, like, that spiritual orientation. And I understand, like, the newest, coolest thing is to say, like, there is no God, there is no this, there is no that. If you ask me, that's entirely satanic. I understand the philosophical implications of people trying to say that, but whenever they shut out something that is bigger than them, something that they can connect to at the same time, that's denying, I don't know, that's like denying yourself and denying, like, your existence and denying, like, a higher existence. I don't know. There's really so much that comes with, like, where we're at these days, and I feel like, you know, what we've got to look at as like a society, simply because like we want everything immediately. We want instant gratification. You know, we don't want to take the time out to actually pray. I mean, you say you're taking the time to you're praying and then basically going to sleep afterwards. You know, think about that and look at what gifts you're being given. Look at what visions you're being given. Look at the connection that you already have due to your like spiritual nature and your affinity, how you're tuned, how you are. You see, but most people don't have that these days. Most people would deny that aspect, deny that whole existence, you see. And with that, that's why we have so many people that are walking around lost, that are walking around basically in a daze because they don't know. And I know, like, when it comes to talking about this type of stuff, you know, understanding like our deeper aspects of it and our orientation and our position and our role, it's definitely easier said than done, because you're I don't want to say you're being plagued, but you're being overwhelmed by this type of rise in negativity, or this rise in tension, or this rise in violence, or whatever you want to call this energy, and that's manifesting for you differently. So whenever you talk about these types of things and how it's affecting you, your daughter, and basically like the perception and how it's making you get closer to God, I understand these things entirely, my friend. We're living in a world that lacks spirituality.
Right, absolutely, and I think, you know, you touched on a good point. I mean, everyone has a formulated opinion nowadays. Everyone, you know, loves to hear themselves talking. I mean, I hate it. I mean, you try to avoid sounding like, you know, hypocritical for it. But I mean, there's differences from people having a shared opinion versus everyone, as you said, just being like, there's no God. You know, there's this. You know, you're dumb. You're dumb. This and the, you know, this is that, and there's none of that, and it's weird how, like you said. And a lot of people don't even realize that, like I said, that control, that intended control, has maybe overcasted them. You know, you wonder how many people were even thinking that way a couple of years ago. Is it something that was just like a conversion that just like almost slated right across their mind that they can think that way? And like you said, a lot of people nowadays, everything needs to be, you know, visual. You know, and that's the biggest thing about all this. You know, everything needs to be visual for people in order for people to even believe it. You know, and I think that's what's amazing to me, given that my entire life, most of this has been non-visual. You know what I mean? It's my soul, my spirit telling me. I'm sitting in my room, and as a kid, and seeing and feeling stuff, as we spoke on the previous episode. I'm sitting, laying in bed, hearing a whole bunch of stuff slip down in my basement. And we go down there, there's nothing, you know, nothing down there moved around, but we could hear it as we're going down the steps. And it's not like just a couple things falling, everything's flipping around. So there's just tons of spiritual, as you spoke about it before, and I know you're really in love with the paranormal because it's such a side that doesn't get enough attention, because there's so many things, so many gates that, in a good way, could make us understand, could probably bring us a lot closer to God and just each other if we could have that platform given to us on a more compelling and obviously good level, but it's not there. But to your point, I think, you know, going back to your question, you said, you know, why is my daughter, you know, if we're, as you said, what would be making her feel that way if we're praying? And that's a good point. You know, I wonder the same thing myself. I think speaking to my mom about that, as I said, I was a little frustrated with my mom, not directly with her, but just more so like, mom, like, you know, hey, I'm in my, you know, my mid to late 20s here, and I'm dealing with this still. You know, it's gotten worse since I've been a kid, and now I'm seeing the pattern of my child, and I'm seeing the rigor mole. I'm seeing the entire thing start all over again, and I know you've made a very valuable and very important statement that, you know, I easily could have thought of, but it's reassuring to hear that, you know, if she's going to deal with this, however long God allows it, I'm there. I've already been through it, so I could be there to help her. And I think that's what's amazing. And I'm very thankful to be a father in her life, because as I, you know, been told my entire life, what we go through is not for us. And I think a lot of people forget that. And it's unfair at times how you look at it, but it's very true. You know, what we go through is not for us. It's for somebody else someday. We don't understand that concept because if you think about it, people could bring up a lot of examples of what's unfair of why they dealt with it. But if you really think about it, there's somebody out there. Now, if you reject someone who needs that help or you think or overcast them, then that's entirely something different. But there's always someone that's going to need you that they dealt with. What they're dealing with something that you dealt with and you overcome. You made it. And I think you made a great point about that when we spoke a few days ago and how you said that. And it really, really kind of eased me yesterday, I think, especially, and made me think about it and step back and like, you know what, that's absolutely right. You know, this is tough for me, but I've been dealing with it a long time. My child didn't, you know, is having me here. My parents didn't really have a lot for me. You know, they didn't have a lot for me to share with me to tell me, hey, you know, I've been there. You know, I know what this is. They really haven't. You know, they sat. And at times they don't have to admit it. I know at times they may have thought I was fabricating things because it sounds unreal, man. Like, the stuff I've read in my dreams, it doesn't even, like, why? Like, why should I have a dream about Jesus ripping apart a mountain and leaving, you know, separating two people and leaving half of the people there to cry and scream his name, and he takes the other half of them with him, and I'm just there as it's like, I'm there as this audience to watch this, like, and you know, almost making it sound like something you hear out of a movie or a show. It could be so vivid, and it could be just strong and strung out, and make you feel so, you know, so strong about it. You know, like, a lot of people might be like, you know, this guy sounds a little off. But again, like you said, man, I think more of your point of your question about why is that with her, I think it's because of the fact that she knows God. As, you know, that's, it's the fears there. And I think the fear of God in one way could be there to show her. It's showing her a message. It could be, she could be a pillar. It could be the enemy trying to throw her off or scare her. It's really a hard thing to balance when you think about it. So
if you don't mind me asking, outside of what proactive things have you and your family or you even, what kind of things have you tried to come up with to kind of counterbalance it? You know, and this is something that, if anything, personally, I try to do with the show and everything else that we're doing. You know, while you found one outlet through writing and praying, could there actually be other outlets to help relieve the stress? Like, could you come up with just like your own weekly community gathering where you guys just pray? Because and this might sound weird too. I remember, I think it was about 2 weeks or so ago, maybe in Louisiana, they came up with this idea of prayer police. And I know that sounds silly, you know, just people walking around praying for things, praying for goodness and praying for, I guess, just trying to bless people and uplift things. But I don't know, have there been any kind of ideas or remedies in your head to kind of help counterbalance some of the things that you're feeling? Because I think And this is what I was trying to say, well, whenever we were talking beforehand, you know, with your daughter, at least she actually has you to you there. You know, you may not have had that, and it's good to actually, you know, can create this kind of dialogue with your daughter, because it opens up a whole new realm to where for her it's not something so encumbersome, it's not something so detrimental or scary. You know, this is something that she can understand. So I guess the question I'm asking now, is there any other proactive things that you wanted to do to try to help relieve the pressure, so to speak?
I think it's a good thing to bring up, because I have thought about it, and you know, the conversations I've had recently, you know, with my fiance, to my mom, and just in general, kind of reassessing, you know, what it is, and it's hard. It's hard because you don't know. But you have to figure out something, because it's obviously whatever I'm doing is not helping enough to help either alleviate or like you said, pull down the tension. I know I want to do more. I think, and it's kind of funny, because I grew up with my family doing it. Me and my kids say prayer before I go to bed every night, but it's not the same. And I can admit it. It's not the same way I would do that, you know, with my parents, where, you know, what we used to do is, I know it wasn't every night, because my dad worked, and he worked like graveyard shifts for certain points in my life, you know, and other crazy shifts, so he wasn't always there. But when we were all there, especially at one point where I was dealing with a lot, my dad was demanding and fierce about getting around the bed, outskirts of the bed, and everybody, it was five of us, and us all, you know, getting on our knees and holding hands and praying, and it's a lot different. Because I don't always do that, and it's a lot different when you're down there, you know, on your knees, and you're sitting straight up, and you're sitting there holding hands clenched, and you're focused, and you're able to just really clear your mind and listen, and have, you know, prayer. I think I want to do more of that, but incorporate my kids to be able to speak. Because my dad did that with me and my sisters, and he eventually went from him leading into prayer, and he would do that to allowing us to do it. And it helped not only us to be able to feel comfortable praying out loud, but also to be able to feel comfortable talking amongst other people, like even just our family, about to God, you know, out loud. And that did a lot.
So it sounds,
because of, go ahead.
I was going to say, it sounds like definitely what we're talking about is like a generational difference, Mero. Like our...
Yeah.
Our lives are vastly different than our parents and then by our grandparents, you know, and
absolutely,
a lot of the technology, what we're having to really do is figuring out how to integrate this into our lives to where, you know, it becomes like a conscious action to separate from technology, a conscious action to distinguish yourself outside of technology, but at the same time within technology and all these things. They're actually talked about in the Bible, how we become lovers of ourselves. You know, we become involved in the worldly and in the fleshly. I think what ends up happening is because we see that there is so much going on in the world, and we also want to think about how we can affect that change, how we can try to help one another. We kind of feel minuscule in comparison to all of the problems. And I think if anything, we should feel honored that we get to compete in the arena, that we get to have the chance to affect change at all, because there are people who are, and that's why I led in with the show saying, you know, I'm on the right side of the ground. There are people that are no longer here with us today that don't have to try to figure out the problems that we have. And I feel like, again, and I don't mean to, you know, kind of bot back all over the place. I guess what I'm trying to say is it's something where we have to like realize that this isn't going to go away. Our problems are, I guess, our proclivities, these things that we're in, I don't know, these things that define us, or these things that make us, or these things that we look at, then they're going to intensify. And so whenever I ask, you know, what other things have you thought of doing? You know, I think that's, I don't know, have you ever sat and prayed for answers and asked God to see if he can reveal to you, like, why outside of this is he sending you these messages? Because clearly he wants you to get closer with him, but what does getting closer to him mean? You know, what could that mean for you? Have you ever asked or gotten an answer in that aspect?
That's a great, great segue and question to go into it. Actually, man, to be very honest with you, just because it's going directly back to me and him personally.
I don't mean to sound all. I don't mean to get personal. You can say you don't want to answer that question.
No, bro, not at all. I mean it in a great way. It hits that. I'm a very straightforward person for the most part. Grew up that way in my household, so it actually I appreciate it, and I think it's direct. I think it's great. I thought about it, and I'm like, damn, you know, it really hits the certain things that you're that most 98% people don't know that you're kind of what you're implementing or what you're implying both. Everything of where I'm at, and yes, I have. I think for a long time I've prayed, and that's why I was telling you about the signs. I think I've ignored a lot of signs, man. I've ignored a lot of signs, and it's not. I don't think a lot of it is intentionally. I think it has something to do with the fact that where I'm at with God at times. I think I have a great relationship with God in the sense of I can communicate with Him. I feel comfortable. My wrongs, my rights, being able just to pray, being fearful, whatever. I feel so comfortable, and that was something that I was established as a child, which I'm thankful for, that I can call on God no matter what. If there's something I'm feeling wrong or something's not right, something's bothering me in my head, which I'll speak to you about on that because I want to share something with you on the show that not no one, including my fiancé, knows about. But I want to go ahead and share it. And it's on my heart, and it's on my mind, and it's very, very, very it's very, very tender. But the more I talk about it, the more something in my mind saying, just say it. So, but to your point, real quick, I think that, yeah, I reached out to God many a time, but I think He showed me signs, and I just don't think that I've been equipped. I think sometimes when God wants to show us something, He knows when we're going to be ready, but we have opportunities as well. Again, He's not a forceful God, you know, and I think, like, you know, going back to that again, people have to understand this. God is not forceful. Not the question of the religion or other things. God is not. Even religion sometimes itself can be more forced on, and that takes away from God, you know, and I don't think that's right. But I have, and I've gotten answers sometimes. I think other times I've kind of ignored them, and again, other times I just haven't seen them. And I think what makes me weary about all that, man, to be honest with you, is because, and I just said this again, I've said this a few times on my Facebook post, is, you know, my business, you know, we talked about it last episode with my last time on the show with you was about, you know, we were promoting UC Fitness Apparel, that, you know, that's my company that I have, yep. You know, that started right here in New York. And I work a decent job, you know, decent money. I have a lot. Thankful for everything, but there's different times I get in this mindset, and I'm like, man, like, and I'm in this is in the midst of praying and trying to figure out why I'm having these dreams. Like, God, what do you want? I'm ready to scream it out. I'm at times feeling almost aggravated with God, but not directly because I can't be with God because I understand it's not Him; it's more so me. But I feel like I tell myself a lot, like, man, what am I doing? Am I really pursuing? Like, is this all these things? Like job, business, which I feel like that's what we want to do. You want to be able to create and grow. Those are things, and it's amazing. And I love that. But in the time we're in, there's been so many times where something is saying, like, man, is this really what you want to focus on? You really want to focus on this and more so in building within yourself and building this man that you know is there. And you know I talked about it enough on the last episode with you that I was on. But there's this Zach that's right now, that's on the phone with you right now, and then there's the Zach that's waiting at the door. And the Zach that's waiting at the door is the Zach that's going to replace the Zach that's now. You know, I know I'm speaking in third person, so I don't want to lose you. The Zach that's waiting at the door is the Zach that Jesus, God, has. That's the final product. The Zach that's right now is the one of the flesh, you know, the angry, you know, at times I've had I've had a dark past and just a lot of pain and things like that. That's the flesh of what I'm referring to. But the one that's there, it's always been there. And he, you know, that mantle has been getting closer. That fire is getting closer and closer to shift. And with that being said, I believe that a lot of the signs, a lot of the things that God wants is for that part of me, not the one that's right now. And in order for that transition to happen, the one of the flesh, the one that fights back things, that wants to stay, like you said, that wants to be, not even, my grandma talks about this, it was just crazy, she talks about, you know, you can't be in the world and be with God, you have to be one or the other, and I think, you know, she's talking about whether it being, you know, having a drink with your friends, or, like you said, you know, just you know, hanging out, you know, watching, or like I said, just being angry, you know, playing things. I don't know how much video games and things, which they can, depending on what it is, how things can correlate. But she said that, like, you can't do both. And, you know, you have to know that at one point or another, and I can't, and the thing is, I can't stop the Zach that's coming. The one that's at the door, he just keeps coming, you know, and I understand that, of where I'm going to have to shift that, not just for myself, but for my family. I'm a leader. I am a leader, and I've finally accepted that with my work, at work and just at my home. I am a leader, and really, even though my fiancé has done a lot that holds his house, to get my house together, I know where I stand. So to your point, going back to everything to segue it in, the spiritual side is the one that has the messages that the flesh side cannot see. So it's there. It's kind of like having, like, you know, you have a night vision goggles on. I can't see anything, but if the spirit were to come, pull that night vision down, all the gems are just laying out everywhere. I'm probably stepping all over them every time I get out of bed, and I put my foot on the pedal, and I go to put, you know, my key in my drawer to start working. They're probably everywhere, man. I'm just knocking them over. I'm not even noticing. I'm touching them out, but I'm not picking them up. And so I think that's what it is. I think that I'm not allowing myself to see those things. So,
and that's imagine this. Let me throw this little bit of an analogy out at you, or this metaphor. Let me just throw this imagery out at you. What I kind of get whenever you're speaking to me about these types of things is imagine God is kind of like a coach. You're on a football team. You know, he sees your potential. He sees you working. He sees you trying to grind. But he sees you also kind of slacking in some departments as well. That coach, he's only going to ride you because he sees your potential. He's only going to yell at you because he wants you as your entire, you know, fitness clothing line represents. You're an under construction person. You know, you are listening to the coach. You're listening to God send you those messages and send you those signals and tell you, you don't need to be doing this. You don't need. I know, and this is a lot of what we have to look at as well. You know, with the generational factor, what's going on with our generation, how we handle things and how we respond to things as well, the social engineering, and everything else is like that as well. We've definitely been brought up to kind of, you know, ignore those types of those very simple coincidences or those very simple correlations. You know, the fact that we get so involved in ourselves that we don't really understand our role in society or our role as a whole. You know, and so I guess what I'm trying to say is, whenever you have these waves of intense dreams or these callings, basically, that's him trying to say, you can do this. You know what? You know somewhere along in your life where that slacking is. I think because we feel, and this is, and we've talked about this before on the show, in videos and in other episodes and stuff as well. You know, it's that humility. It is that judgment. It is that chiseling of the self to say, you know what? I'm slacking in this department. I can do a little bit better here. You know, I can take 30 minutes to go pray. I can take an hour to go meditate. I can take an hour to go work out. It is these very simple choices that lead us closer to understanding what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And like you said, you know, even with the work, that's what it seems like you need to do in order to be happy. But at this day and age, because we are living in different times with different goals, with different people, with so many different things going on, it's creating an entirely different person, an entirely different mindset. And that's why they talk about that in the Bible as well. It speaks of discernment, because we're not supposed to stay so stuck in our old ways that we don't understand how we're supposed to grow, but we're not also supposed to give ourselves over into the world and fully, air quotes, grow in what they want. That's whenever you have people that are basically pencil pushers and have no lives. We've got to understand in this world how tricky everything is becoming, so navigate, or how we have to navigate everything in this tricky world. And it sounds strange, but, you know, and this is kind of like why I wanted to have you on, because I know to a degree kind of how you're feeling, you know, and this is what we talked about at the start of the show, that the universe is always talking, God is always talking. The question is, are you listening? and the very simple deeds of just taking the time to disconnect, to pray, to meditate, to ask for guidance, it does go a long way, because you're not leading yourself by your ego. You're not leading yourself by, you know, you're not letting the blind lead the blind. You're not letting whatever's trendy, whatever's clever, whatever's shiny define you. You have a higher intent and a higher purpose, and you realize that. And the moment that you realize that, like you said, you know, realizing it in your household, realizing that you are a natural leader, there's a whole nother power that comes with that whenever you're reluctant. And that's, again, where it comes back to the coach metaphor, to where God's crushing you for a reason. He's telling you these things for a reason. He's not plaguing you, but he's giving you these visions for a reason, because he knows that you will do what you need to do to get it out there. And he's going to stay on you until you do. And the minute that we try to shut it off, that's when it gets harder. That's whenever it hits quicker. And that's how I interpret what you're saying.
Right. And that's pretty much exactly what I'm saying, to be honest with you. It's you can really say it much better, man. I think, because that's kind of where that battle goes back and forth with me, and knowing that. It's funny, because unintentionally, I have tattoos on my, you know, my right side. I have a Venom sleeve. You know, I'm a huge Spider-Man Venom fan, and I don't know why I was always in love with Venom, because of the idea of how he started.
I prefer Carnage. I prefer Carnage. Yeah, yeah. If we're gonna have this debate.
No, I'm with you. It's crazy. Well, that's what's crazy, man. I think Carnage to me is like. It's what's weird. Like, I mean, I'm a huge, you know, comic guy. I'm a huge DC Marvel guy, all that stuff, and always have. It's funny because it's like, at one point you'd be considered a nerd, you know, years ago. Now it's a cool thing to talk about. But, you know, my right side of my arm is I have my first tattoo my second tattoo that I got was out of Proverbs. It's the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And I remember, you know, when I got that, I was about 17. My dad let me, you know, he signed off. My whole family has tattoos, so it's kind of like a thing that we all have. And we honor, but we have like an honor for the art. It's not like any of us have anything that's without meaning. So, yeah. So the Venom tattoo, I love Venom because of he's this darker side of what Spider-Man is. But also he eventually, there's times where he really was anti-hero. He was at points trying to kind of he was battling in himself after, you know, at one point or another, this side of wanting to do right. You know, he always wanted to hurt and kill and give Spider-Man a hard time. But at the same time, he always seen that Spider-Man always tried to make the right decision. And it was crazy to me because I thought about that. And I thought about how I went through a lot as a kid and a lot of anger that stemmed inside, you know, and it made me want to relay so much to that Venom guy, because it was like as if I wanted that side of me to come out. I wanted the anger, the pain, the hurt side to take over that and let that be what everyone sees, from the people that hurt me or to the people that throw it off like it's nothing, given they didn't know what was going on. And, so my point is that's kind of why I've worked so much on it and the story that's behind it. I'm not finished. It's supposed to, you know, come across my chest. I wasn't going to make a Spider-Man. I was not supposed to do any of this. I'm going to do a Spider-Man sleeve that's going to go into this DNA strand I have. And what it's going to be is that it's going to show the symbiote literally trying to crawl across my left side of my chest. But there's going to be a barrier made to bounce. It's going to show the symbiote bouncing off the barrier, and on that other side of that barrier is going to be Jesus' hands. It's not the closed hand. I'm talking about hands there to hold my heart, and it's going to kind of value my arm is on my left arm is already having names of people in my life that are important to me, including my sisters and my kids. It's not finished, but that itself is going to be embedded with the Spider-Man, but it's the deeper meaning. And now that God always, basically, in other words, carries my heart with them. And the point I'm getting at is, like I said, as we're getting talking on this particular topic, is that it's just a matter of, you know, the sides. You know, you have the worldly side, you have the side of that, the anger, the pain, whatever it may be, and you have the one that's there, and they're both always there. And it's like you said, as I was saying, it's a spiritual warfare. We as people in general underestimate it at such a level that right now, we're getting at the end of days. I definitely believe, and I know you can probably pretty much agree with me on what the times what we are in are unparalleled to what anybody can say. The whole, ah, this was going on, this, it was never going on like this. It was never. And I think we both can agree it's never to this magnitude has it allowed itself to manifest because we've allowed God to be pushed away. But where we're at with things and kind of, you know, how things have changed, we're constantly seeing, you know, this warfare where we're being attacked daily. And I think that's kind of, like I said, where you and I are at. It's how do we decide which side do we go to? And we're not getting – the good guys aren't getting a lot of leverage anymore. You know, we're really not. And I think you talk about in the Bible, you know, and I forgot the verse where, you know, the bad will look good and the good will kind of be pushed away as being almost as if it's lame. It's going to be lame to want to help people and uplift your brothers and sisters and do good deeds and share and you know, be able to give back. Those are already seen as being somehow detrimental and instead of being this anger, this hate, we're already seeing that, man. And I think, again, not to, you know, jump around, but the point of what I was saying about with my daughter and all this, man, I think is that I told you how I've dealt with a lot of strange things as a child. And I also wonder, I have a theory, and I'm almost afraid on this theory, but the theory is that me personally, for example, 28 years, you know, 8 years old almost now, and all the stuff I've dealt with, my brain has been conditioned to the dreams. They're scary. They're at times they're very crazy. The sleep paralysis things and everything else that I don't believe it's sleep paralysis and all the other stuff I've talked about with you before. Those are things that people deal with that I don't believe are, you know, the scientific thing. I think they are definitely more spiritual. But I feel like I'm being conditioned into the perspective that at this time, every day since I've had my bug out bag, I'm wondering and pre-planning my exit route, my windows, how to get out, where to do what? What else do I need to have? My brain is already. I mean, and there's probably tons of people that have the bug out bags, that have that lifestyle. I know you're one of those that obviously has been prepping. I know you want to talk more about it. I know that was one thing. I know you were talking either on live or one of the videos that you said. You know that's a focus for you, and I definitely would love to see more of that.
Putting together a video on it, and I definitely want to try to have some more survivalists on, because you're right, you know. And I don't want to try to spook people, but you know, that's definitely where things are heading in my mind. It's not a question of is it going to happen. It's a matter of when is it going to happen. And I think, you know, for the safety, you know, you've got to be aware of what's going on in the times. So like I said, I don't want to scare people, but this is definitely something that we have in the works that we want to try to start working on more so, because I feel like physically we need to get more proactive. It is nice to have this kind of information, and it is nice to have this kind of kinship with people and understand these things, but it's even better being able to say, you know what, I took the time out of my day and he took the time out of his day to make this happen, and we are securing something for the future because of this now. And I think that people need to realize that their actions dictate how they wake up tomorrow. And we need to realize that we can do these types of things. We really can. And it's not crazy. It's not wild to do them. I think what's even more wild is to see all of the red signs and to see all the flags taking place and they ignore it. So definitely, I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think it's, and I don't, honestly, man, and I see the comment. I'm sure you see me. You know, I speak my mind. I get it from my pop, man. I see things I don't agree on. I'm going to speak on it. I'm willing to be open to opinions as long as it's respectful. I know I've come off strong sometimes in general with these particular topics because I feel so strongly, because I think I have dealt with a lot of things and pre-warnings of these dreams, for example, that we're obviously talking about today. But I don't know if it's necessarily fear-mongering as much as people want to bring it up as that being it, versus actually being truthful, man. And it's a shame, because it's definitely something that there's a line, and there's people that could be out there really trying to advocate that and make that something to get off on having followers or getting some type of clout or something from that. But for the people really out there, and there's a few folks, I know there's some that you follow and you know and know, for pages in general that are some good, like you said, survivalists and just informational pages and people that obviously have a lot of knowledge behind it. I don't necessarily think it's that. I think we've relied so much on technology that once it does, as you said, once it does decide to go ahead and either go against us or we lose it altogether, and we're back in like this stage of where we don't, you know, living outside and using and having to live off gardening and hunting and survival. Once that kicks in, a lot of people are going to be hit hard in the face, and it's gonna and that's gonna be something that that at that point preparation is not going to be available to them. So I think that, you know, as you said, it's definitely something I want you to definitely focus on. People in general, whoever they follow or whatever they look into, need to, you know, to take advantage of it, because again, like I said, there's a reason, man, why I have like looked at this. I'm telling you, man, the urge to fix my bag of habit affected as much as possible, and then just learn stuff just for random reasons. I mean, it's just, you can YouTube this stuff, like that's the great thing right now. We have that access. We can go and see these things and find out how to start a fire, you know, how to build a camp, you know, how to stitch, like stuff that's just there that won't be there later, man. And it's useful knowledge.
Let me get your opinion real quick, because you know there's been a lot of beef thrown around on social media lately, as I'm sure you've seen, and I've definitely tried to not engage it. I feel like we need to stick more to the information and have these kinds of conversations instead. Outside, and this is kind of a twofold question. Outside of, you know, I feel like big pages kind of have to have something that says you need to take care of yourself. You need to be aware of yourself. If you have a huge platform, or if you have a voice, I feel like you need to make aware of some kind of problems and self ownership and self care and taking care of yourself during all this as well. Do you see, like, with entertainment, and this is kind of, I guess, where the question comes in, do you see entertainment kind of, I guess, mainstreaming the revolution? Like, do you think entertainment plays a huge part in how things are perceived these days? You know, they don't even want to talk about spirituality. Like you said before, with pastors and preachers, they don't want to talk about, like, some of the deeper spiritual truths. But instead, you know, they're promoting, you know, everything worldly, you know, no borders. They're promoting all love. You know, we just need to accept all of this that's going on and not really like looking at deeply, critically discerning what is happening. Do you feel like there's a weird shift between like the conscious pages who are becoming too egotistical versus the entertainment industry that's trying to become conscious? Do you see that kind of taking place?
I do, and it's kind of weird. I have seen it, that you bring it up, and I don't know why. As much is it I don't know if it's like a pre-planned, if this was like supposed to like turn out this way, or what is the shift? But I have seen it, because there are some pages, some you know, certain things I've had to unfollow over a period of time, because I know one I was really behind and it just started getting strange, and there was things that, either that or that, I don't know if there was some type of corruption that occurred behind the scenes. I don't know, but in general I have seen that, and I have seen the media. I mean, certain things have taken. I've seen certain people have a stand that have had the outlets, and you've seen them, you know, be almost try to be destroyed. I mean, God forbid Colin Kaepernick, a mixed man, go and mixed man, you know, he's not even full black, but he's obviously perceived that way, do something different, and you'd be destroyed for that, and mm-hmm. it gives you an idea of, well, that's just now. So a couple years from now, see something that stands up for something more, and people are so brainwashed by something that they're like, you're wrong, when a couple years ago, that was not the norm. As you said, what's happening now, a couple years ago, was not the norm. And it's one thing to say it's not the norm because certain things are more comfortable to be out, but another one is being pushed, and people at first are disagreeing with it, and then it's almost like I said, we're brainwashed. Like, you're just going from people you could say a couple years ago, like, what? There's no way we'd have these type of conversations. There's no way we'd see these things. To now, people are being like, making, you know, having being that counteractive person going and coming at people that still think that way that they might have thought about a couple years ago. You don't understand. So I think the evolution, I don't know if it will be officially televised or it will be some type of fake outing. I know there are people, like I said, even it's funny, I'm a huge fan of Kendrick Lamar off and on for different things, and even before he got big. But it's funny, if you listen to the album itself, to the last couple albums, even just the one-off songs, you wonder about certain artists, what do you think, like, because I have a lot of questions with someone like him because of people that he has around him that are very questionable to me. I don't know, but...
I feel you on that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole other thing I can go into, but which is what always made me confused about certain people that... Are you selling us on this, or are you really there, but you're just playing that game? Because you have to be where you're at. Because it's funny that, Kendrick itself, for example, he's went and talked about the times that we're in. And it's funny, you know, I think the Power Four was on Kendrick Lamar. And I think he hinted, he was sitting there talking, he's like, I warned you guys about the pockups coming, and you guys ignore me. He said something like that in his lyrics, and he started talking about focusing and about, you know, the stuff with Russia and the economy and all this other stuff. And it was just funny to hear him talk about it, because I remember him talking about it, I think in the 808 or something else that he had from a while back, and other little things in Good Kid, Mad City, and other good small gems he would throw. And it was just like, you know, people are just not picking up on it, because it's almost like you have to be, you know, where he's at, he has to be discreet. Can't go too much, because we see what happens when that goes too long, unfortunately. So I think it's weird that I think it's trying maybe to be televised, but you wonder how much of it is actually authentic, and how much of it is just kind of trying to throw back in our face. Because, you know, obviously now it's a joke to hear everyone say the Illuminati and rappers or whoever just throw it out there. And it's like, I'm not the Illuminati. This is not. I'm not a clone. They said I was, you know, Gucci Mane said something. So he's like, they thought I was a clone because I talked proper or something like that. Meanwhile, these things are synthetic people and clones and all these other things are real. These are real things that are right in front of our faces that we literally have footages of people talking about, and we're literally going like, nah, like this is, you know what I mean? So I don't know, man. Yeah,
I'll put it to you this way, man. As far as Gucci clone, I'll put it to you this way. Why did Kanye drop his music video Famous? You know, where he showed like him, Kim Kardashian, yeah. Caitlyn Jenner, yeah. Donald Trump, Ray J, Chris Brown, and like all kinds of other people all up in the same bed together the same time that we're starting to hear about Gucci clone. I'm just saying, I feel like that's something to illustrate. So what you're saying is true. They definitely put they definitely put truth in there. They definitely dropped the subliminals, and it's because like there's so much coming out these days.
Yeah, man, and it's weird because I think that's the thing. There's a lot of artists I think that want to talk about it. It's funny because you even see some like actors. It's funny when you, if you ever seen or read or see them actually talk or articulate, not to say they're in a certain way, but it's just so different from how you would see it on screen. What they want to really do. It's funny how some of the actors that are really, really consciously out there in Africa and other places doing things that you never, ever hear about, ever. You hear nothing about it whatsoever unless somehow it's either because they were maybe in something that was in a country that was impacted by something, but there's things that people are doing and trying to help, and that's not what the media wants. Because like we said, we're talking about what we're being told and what we're sold on. Going back to, you know, a segue, what we're being told and sold on is in how we're supposed to live versus what they want us to is the issue. You know, we could be really having our platforms and being successful people and giving back and teaching and showing and growing. Instead, it's money, you know, power and respect, you know, and that avenue. So, yeah, man, I think it's weird. It's a strange topic. But one thing I wanted to say, man, and I think, I really felt some type of way, I think, last time I got off the show with you, and I wanted to make sure at some point I bring this up, just in case whenever we finish and I at least know I feel consciously better, not to jump all over the place, because I think some of the topics that you have, especially with you, there's so many things, man, I could talk about that I do a lot of reading and research, so you and I could probably talk for hours and days about some of these other things, but one of the things I wanted to kind of share and bring up, which is one of the things why I wanted to get on today, was about these dreams, was that I think when we talked before, and I really honestly I can't remember, but because it's my brain has just been all over the place today, but it was one thing that my daughter, that it makes me wonder about her, and I almost don't want to know if it's like a, you know, something that's like a hereditary thing as far as having like the, you know, what I'm dealing with being passed down to her, or is it that, or like you said, is it just these people of God that he's choosing for things to show? But my children had a thing when a couple years ago, and they were in their room. For those who may not have heard this already, they were in their room. 3 or 4 years old, little toddler beds. They slept in the same room, the other twins. So they slept in their, they had their own separate beds, and their beds were right next to each other. And my son had a few times where he would wake up crying, saying that he's had these, dreams and then seeing things in his room that were like gorillas. That's what you call them. They said gorillas with red eyes. And I'm like looking around, like, you know, my kids love, you know, watching National Geographic and Discovery Channel, but they weren't watching it then. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, at the time, I'm like, I don't know what it is. I'm just thinking, a little kid having bad dreams. And he's dealing with it for a few times, no big deal. But then it got a little bit more active, and, the crying and the screaming and stuff was actually almost abnormal. Like, it really was like a terrified scream. So then one night, in particular, I remember being up, and I was always playing 2K late at night because I never like to sleep early because of my issues I have. And I went to bed and knocked out. And in the middle of me sleeping, dead in my sleep, I hear a loud roar. And it sounded like a lion was in my house. Like, it literally sounded like a loud growl noise, like, you know, growl. And, I woke up, I'm like, all right, I'm tripping. This is out of control. Like, I swear I heard this. I know I turned the TV off. What is going on? But luckily, my fiance laid there, dead, open, eyes open, the same, looking at me. And I said, did you hear what I just heard? And she says, what did you hear? And I asked her back, and I said, it sounded like a lion. She said, that's exactly what I heard. She's like, did you turn the TV off? I'm like, of course I turned the TV off. Why wouldn't I have turned it off? I was like, I'm not leaving it on because, you know, it's not wasting power, and I don't want you to complain. So we're literally back and forth. Like, she's like, you did. You left it on. I'm like, get up. I was like, well, why don't you get up and see? And we're just laying there. We're like, kind of going back and forth. Like, to the point where, like, we're like really finally like accepting the fact that we're probably just scared right now because we both know the TV is not open. So then we get up, and in the midst of that, my son's kind of crying. This is all taking part, probably taking like 30 seconds. So it's not like they're crying like just for minutes or hours or whatever. He's been crying probably for a few seconds, 30 seconds, whatever, and they're talking. And we go over there. My daughter's up, and she's now upset. And they're just sitting there looking at the window. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, you know, why are you guys crying? And they say to me, the gorillas were in the window. And my daughter says the same thing now that my son said. They were in the window with red eyes. But there was a lion that came and scared them away. And I think at that moment, I felt like the Holy Ghost that started kind of shedding. I didn't, honestly, man, I had like a billion emotions. I had no idea how to answer. I had no idea what to take from that, other than the fact that me and my fiance just had heard this line. It woke us both up. And, you know, shoot, that's one thing I love that I can say and vouch that I have somebody else that can vouch for 1,000,000% that this was not just me. And, you know, my kids are this person, and they're saying what we heard. And the fact that a lion comes in the room and scares it away, we don't know what that means. But the fact that something came in to protect my kids is all that I took away from that. And I believe that was God, and you know, or angel, or whatever it may be. So why I'm bringing it up now is just that, again, like you said, I had told you about my situation as a child where something was over my bed and my parents had to rush to me, but nothing ever hurt me, nothing ever physically harmed me. And now in the same scenario with my children, just kind of different, but I heard it. I didn't see anything. And now my daughter's now experiencing these things. So my point of what I was getting at with you earlier about conditioning and what I'm dealing with and now what she's dealing with is making me wonder is, as we pull all this together, what if, as you said, is God preparing me for a time where I will be out in these streets? My grandma always said it to me, and she's always said, I'll be a preacher. And I said, I don't want to be the preacher. I really don't want to be that preacher in the church because I've seen so much corruption from it. For things mm-hmm. I don't believe is correct. I don't want to be that type of person. But my mom believes that I'll be that type of preacher. I'll be out in the street pulling people off the ground. And I've had the dreams where I'm out there in these end times and things are going on, and I've had the seeing the four horsemen, and I'm out there seeing these things go on and all this different type of destructions and all this other stuff that I don't know where my brain can pull these type of visions and dreams from. But it makes me wonder if I'm being conditioned to be able to get ready to accept and see and feel and hear and deal with the things that I've dreamt about, which is kind of what's been my biggest fear with that, to be very honest with you, is that these things that I'm seeing, maybe they all won't come to fruition, but a lot of them may, and that just might, God may be preparing me. Because if you think about when you're tortured, when you're in a domestic situation, whatever it is, when it gets to the point that it's become so consecutively consistent, you're now going from being terrified or afraid to eventually it just becomes the norm. My norm is that I sleep 4 or 5 hours a day to avoid these dreams because I don't want to deal with them because they make me upset, or I just get tired of having to deal with it, or have it happen to me yesterday that I have me reach out to you. But if I've been conditioned to it, I'd be conditioned to the point that I wake up mad, like I'm going to fight the air because I'm like, come on, let me sleep here. I have this. I wrote this down. I'm not getting nothing from it as we've all, you know, got into it. And now my child has it. But I almost wonder is, aside from it all that you said, where you said, you know, asking God for the answers, am I also being prepped? Am I being prepped like a turkey and put in the oven where I'm going to be put out there? Because I know one thing, to see it, and then obviously to be in person and deal with it. But I've wondered if that's what my end game is. I don't know. But, you know, I wanted to share that with you because that is what I wonder is happening, and that's what other people that are experiencing that are having these type of things, are they being put in that same position when we think about why is it that these people are having it? My coworker at work said her daughter's been having an uptick in dreams out of nowhere, and she's never had them. I think I was telling you, out of nowhere, having multiple dreams every other night, having these things out of nowhere with no purpose of why. So I know this is happening everywhere right now. This can't be, as you said, this can't be just this isn't just me. I know it's not just me. I know it's happening everywhere. I think it's God's, and that's where the point comes. He's saying things are, and I told this to my mom yesterday, things are coming, and I mean it's coming. And like I said, we're not just talking about martial law. Things are coming, and when they come, they're going to come in such a wave because that's God's wrath. Right now, everything that's going on yep. is man, and we don't realize that the devil and everything else, is he's having his way because he knows it's like he's just playing with fire and waiting for that parent to come home, and they're going to get all over you. And when God gets all over us, it's not going to be really much of a, all right, let me give you a break. There's no break coming once that door opens up and he decides to open his hand. And I think that's, you know, my thing I wanted to share with you and thoughts on. Is that what's happening to me, or is that what's happening to what I've been dealing with? Is it more so, is there understanding, or is it more so just that self-preparation that I'm going to be out here? Am I, as you said, am I going to be somebody that God's going to call on to be able to say, I've been through these things to condition myself to stand in the face of seeing and dealing, and now I'm actually seeing in person, and now this is now my position to go back and help others that maybe not in the right mind to help pull them close to God? Because when I was on the last episode with you, I told you that God had a situation with me, and I sat on the floor in tears begging to understand, and all these names ran down in my brain like if it was a credit scene from a movie. And after that, I just got a message that said, don't be ashamed of who I am. Don't be ashamed to tell them what is coming. And I can never get that out of my head since then. And that's why I'm so comfortable sharing my testimony with you and anybody else. And I have no fear anymore because that message comes out of nowhere where I was so afraid to talk about these things. There's something that populated in my brain at 4 something in the morning and tell me that for no reason. I know that was only God. But he told me and warned me, do not be ashamed to speak my name and talk about these things and warn. And it just, you know, and of course, still dealing with it, it's still hard because, you know, when you have these type of things, you don't know, you still don't know, because God works in so many mysterious ways. You still don't have an end game. I'm not God, so I still don't know my end result. But, you know, it just makes you wonder, for people that are dealing with this, is there even more to that? Is it just a preparation? Because, like I said, what you go through is really never for you. You know, so
yep.
I don't know, man.
I guess
but,
I agree.
Yeah, you know, and nailing it on the head. And I think the only other thing I wanted to say, man, is, you know, sharing these dreams that I have, and I think I wanted you to specifically know, because I wanted to talk about something that you said earlier about the things with the churches, and I know we were supposed to speak about the witches. That night in my dream, and I can kind of read it down to you, and I'm going to read exactly what it says so you have an idea, so it's not conveyed itself, it's not, you know, diluted at all. But it kind of goes into, and I just want to read it off to you so you have an idea. But that Monday night, or Sunday night and a Monday, the first one was pretty much stated as this. My dog, her name is Rogue, by the way. I dreamt about Rogue, or my other dog, Brooklyn, throwing up what seemed to be at my old house. She threw up like carpet, rug yarn. Then a voice came from what felt like a bad dream saying, the devil made me do it. It won't happen again. Then I woke up. Then, my daughter had a bad dream around 12-ish, saying people were dying, and that's all she wanted to say in her dream. And that was, of course, finding out yesterday that she was able to tell me everything about the wolves and zombies. So we were able to talk about it during the day when she felt more comfortable. Then the second part of that nightmare led into I had been playing some weird game. And I want to say this real quick to you, man. I've had these dreams before where they feel like simulations, and it feels like I'm playing a video game. And I think what's scary about that, I want to say this just real quick.
Like a dream inside of a dream type of simulation, or just like a you're aware of like your body being an avatar in another existence type of simulation.
Exactly. And okay. I think what's scary about that is because I know there's been scenarios with people that have been in some shootings that have thought that way. And I think that's just, I just wanted to say that, you know, telling that real, if I go into it, it's just been something I've tried to, I don't know. I don't even know how to connect that, but just, it's weird because that's what it feels similar to what I've seen and heard about some of these people in these shootings that have come out afterwards and said that. And that may be something else with MK Ultra, but I just wanted to say that. But it says, I've been playing in a weird game, and it had three Dobermans. Dogs that were turned into armor to protect this man or thing. All the doors were locked. Tons of evil stuff was waiting behind these doors. It felt real. Then in a house with my fiance, and we were talking, looked like my grandma's house, and I seen this huge, and this sounds funny, this huge T-Rex flying through the sky. Half of his mouth was different. It was lifted up by its nose so you could see all its teeth. I called my fiance to show her. Then down, not far from the house, was a party, like a barbecue going on. Tons of people, different cultures were out when everyone was hanging out, chilling. I'm randomly roaming around. Time passes, people are leaving. I tell a group of people what I saw. They didn't believe me. In the middle of talking, about 15 to 17 huge cargo bomber Korean planes are synchronized, and they land in this field. There's this Korean president with his people and soldiers. They're setting up cameras and so on. Trump comes through this other entrance with guards and people. Reporters are out there, ready to see what they'll be talking about. I tried to leave, and they said I should stay, and they said it's Trump. I was in a white tee and shorts. I said I'm not dressed appropriate. They said social media. They'll eat it up because it looks natural. It had gotten dark outside. And then we sat to converse in conversation before everything went black. Then the final one, again, kind of off-putting, weird. This is obviously when I woke up and I was praying and hoping that it would stop. Actually, I couldn't remember much, but since I didn't write it down when I first woke up, what I did remember was a vampire was going around killing tons of people. It had humans working for it to help round up people and kill them as well. It found a virus to help supply to kill it. I put in a slushie with the thought of taking the dart to soak up the poison and stab it with it. Was in a high school when it started killing people again. Humans rounded up people to kill or give them to the vampire. I had to run across the tables to get away from it. I woke up trying to get out. Dream recap that I took from all that. And I laid in bed that morning when I woke up, as I was telling you, I asked God and I laid there to understand what is it that you want. And I laid there for a while. I got in the shower that morning. And after having those three nightmares, the only thing I could come up with that felt like that was actually organic, like that I could feel like a message to kind of be answering my question, was that we're not prepared and we haven't been preparing for what's getting ready to happen. So for my dreams, you know, trying to put them together, you know, you wonder, do they ever correlate to each other? But for some reason, these felt like they did. And they were completely different.
So go ahead.
They were completely different, but they still seemed to, after begging God for a message or answer, that's all I got when I was in the shower was that. And but I wondered if that's exactly, those are what I was dealing with, those that last night, or Monday night.
So the next time you come on, I definitely want you to, because this is what I feel like our generation has to do, because we are going to keep, we live in cycles. There's different generations that have to take care of different things, different scrolls, different seals, different informational barriers are only unlocked at different times. That's why we have the access to all of this information, and we're trying to utilize it the way that we can. The next time that you come on, I want us to talk about solutions and things that we can do spiritually to help prepare, because I feel like this is of the utmost importance. I feel like because we live in a world where we have just shut out, you know, asking for guidance, trying to talk to God, praying, you know, you say you're praying for sometimes 2 hours a day, because we're living in a world to where that's quickly fading. I want you to, the next time you come on, to come on and try to talk about different solutions and different things that people can do, because if you ask me, I feel like that is the natural next step in order for us to be like effective, the same way the teacher always tries, or this teacher is always the student. You know, they're always trying to refine their craft. They're always trying to be better. They're using the students to help them become a better teacher. I think that's what we need to do. We need to let these things that are confronting us and that are coming up against us, we need to let them empower us instead of. I don't want to say shying away from the problem, but not realizing that these hurdles that we're about to cross, that they haven't been crossed before. Your grandparents didn't do this. My parents didn't do this. And someone's great-great-great-grandparents didn't do this. And I think it's upon us to start doing things to try to affect change for the next generation. Like I was saying before, with your daughter and with future generations, it's upon us to start looking at these things in this type of light. So the next time you come on, I definitely want us to start talking about solutions in that aspect.
I'm definitely with that and agree because, like I said, I'm sure there's tons of people out there and that have some type of similarities. I've seen tons of your paranormal experiences with people dealing with it. So I agree. I would love to. I hope to have something. I hope someone, you know, gets to hear or listen to anything when you put these up and any type of commentary to be able to. Because I, me personally, man, I'm all about being that, you know, wanting to offer resolutions and hear it from the outside as well, or other testimonials of people dealing with it. And like I said, with that platform that you have, you have that. And so I hope people get engaged on this more because, like I said, I know this is big for you. This is a very strong topic, this side, the spiritual and the paranormal for you personally. And there's a lot of people out there, man, that need this. And I felt, you know, I felt it was my duty to get on tonight and share, you know, my time with you and with, you know, your audience, because the hope is that, like you said, there's resolutions that need to be made, but we have to, you know, we have to come together to be able to share them, talk about them, and figure it out together. If we stay quiet while we deal with these, we're not going to get anywhere. So I agree 100%, and I look forward to it as well, man.
So closing thoughts, what are you working on next, and where can people find more of your work?
So, working on this long, everlasting book, that's a work in progress. So that's just my fun, loving hobby one day. But, you know, of course, Who's Zach, WH0S Zach is my Instagram page. My, you know, I do have, again, my company page, my UC Fitness Apparel page. Again, just continuing to work with under construction and, you know, following the mantra that, you know, when you're under construction, it's not just fitness itself. Even though that is our background, under construction is being spiritual, mental, emotional, social, as well as physical. But we have really been on, behind the mindset of, you know, it's very important to sometimes think about what you wear and how it represents you. And, you know, whether it being, like I said, if you wear a cross, that's because, you know, because of what you believe with your, you know, your, with your religion or your spirit or whatever it may be that represents you. But I think in this day and age, those things speak louder when you stand apart from yourselves. And that's kind of what our mantra is kind of being able to work on yourself daily. We're going to fall short every single day. But under construction is a never-ending process. So if anyone would love to come by, you know, our site is available. We have tons of sales. We do have our fitness app. We have online trainers that actually stimulate a fitness package workout regime for you from week one to whenever you're ready to finish to work on specifically what you have versus, you know, you have some of the workout apps that kind of just are generic, but these are actually correlated to you. You can upload your progress photos and we have, a dietary and nutritional plans. Everything is available truly around working on you. And again, not just the apparel side. So, That's pretty much, I have it, man. I'm always going to be around your place lurking and, you know, looking and reading and sharing, you know, my thoughts with people, so.
We definitely appreciate it. We definitely appreciate, like you said, outside opinion, outside understanding, and even inside understanding. People who are going through these things as well and understand the types of times that we're in. Like I said, the floor is yours. This is why I wanted to have you on, so that you could tell this from your perspective, from what you're feeling, from what you're seeing with your visions. People needed to hear these types of things.
Absolutely, man. And like I said, again, I felt perplexed to be able to get on here. And I just hope that, man, if anyone listens at all, if there's anyone has anything for me, that's why I wanted, and I appreciate you allowing me to advertise myself. My page, again, is WH0S Zach. I've been dealing with this since I've been a child, very little. Anyone has any information, any recommendations as well to what, you know, you and I have talked about, I'm more than open to any type of critical thinking on it. I'm here to want to better myself, as we talked about, and my child as well. It may be just engaging, and I know there's people. I'm not the only one. I know that. So anybody at all, you know, I appreciate you, you know, if they are able to reach out, and I appreciate you, man, as always, to be able to, you know, give your time and spend, you know, with me and everyone else that you do for us. So I really appreciate it.
And we appreciate you, Zach. We really do. And this is why we have these kinds of episodes, so that we can give back to people who are actually listening and understand the types of times that we're in and see all these flags taking place, not only physically and on the political spectrum, but also they can feel them on a spiritual level, the tension that's rising, so to speak. And that's why we do these types of things, is so people know that they're not insane whenever they look at these types of things or whenever they have these types of feelings. You know, as I said before in the actual episode, I think it's very strange that Zach was on 2 months ago, and the very day that he's coming on, while we're recording this, we're actually hearing about how the witches that bind Trump are gathering again. So for that to be one of the kind of takeaways from this, as well as understanding that we need to become more proactive in this awakening process, there's a lot of different things that we can talk about from here, guys, and that's why we have these types of discussions, so we can understand them. Truly. However, that's all I really have for you guys. As I said before, make sure you guys are listening and downloading the episodes. We have got to do something with them whenever we switch over to Season 5. But stay tuned. Go to our website, factionsoffreedom.jimdo.com, and if anything, become a Patreon-exclusive member. That way you can just get access to everything and more. But like I said, that's all I really have for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below, as well as Zach's, so you can contact him. You know, go buy his t-shirts. You know, go download his app. Just talk to him. Because as you can tell, there's a lot of different things that come with this kind of mindset and this kind of lifestyle. And you'd be surprised the kinds of conversations that can take place. But you're more than welcome to leave me a voicemail if you guys have your own stories at 843-900-6296. And as always, guys, stay vigilant, expose lies, and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out.